Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Yutes. And we're learning today Le'ilui Nishmas Gustav Dunkelman, Gitman ben David Dov, and also Le'ilui Nishmas Matt Baker, Matzliach Menachem ben Yakut. All the Nishmas we learn for Shadav and Aliyah. We begin with the Gemara, 13 lines down from the top, Yutes Omen Aleph. Rav Ashi, Ashkechel Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi found that Rav Kahana, he was putting up tzach on top of the porch that had no ptzimim. We learned in yesterday's shiur that there was different types of porch. They would have these projections coming out from the second story, and they didn't meet in the middle. There was an open space in the middle, and they would put up tzach there. So we had said, everybody agrees that if there is less than four amos, so then you have the principle of dofen akuma, and it would be good, a kosher b'sukkah. However, if there were more than four amos, so then you couldn't apply the principle of dofen akuma. So then we had a machlokas between Abaye and Rabba. There were two ways to learn it. And one way was that if you have a achsadra that doesn't have pitsimin, it's no good. So therefore, Rav Ashi found that Rav Kahana was putting up the schach on the achsadra, but it didn't have pitsimin. So Amalei, lo sabar mar, hodeh mar Rava, don't you passing like Rava? Normally we have a machlokas Abaye and Rava, we passing like Rava. Yesh lo ptsimim kshera, only if there were ptsimim is it good, but if it doesn't have these posts, ain lo ptsimim, then it's psula. So what do you say to that? So achbele, he showed him. Now the girsa that we have is nira mi bifnim, vishava mi bachutz. Now this is a principle that we learned back in Erevin, and you have figures of this in the art school Gemara next to diagram number, footnote number 12, and also right opposite it on the other side of footnote number 12 on the right side of the page. And you also have diagrams of this in the illustrated Gemara on page 41, and that would be diagram number 123, or on page 42, diagram number 124. And also you can see this in diagram number 125. And in the Pirush Chai on page 59, diagram number 299, as well as diagram number 300. Now, the girsa that we have in the Gemara is both v'nira mi bifnim v'shava mi bechutz, or inami nira mi bechutz v'shava mi bifnim. Now, what this is telling us is that you have the two-sided sukkah, and then you have a third wall that either goes outside the sukkah, and that's called nira mi bechutz v'shava mi bifnim, that you can't see from the inner side as you're looking out, but you can see from the outside as you're facing the external part of the sukkah, you can see it there. And that is what the Rashash says is the more correct gear, so that you only have the second thing over here. Inami nira mi bechutz v'shava mi bifnim. But either one is technically going to work, but obviously Rav Kahana didn't show him both of them. So he either showed him the first version or he showed him the second version. The Rashash says that the more correct way is showing him the second version. And that is the Itmar, because we learned in regards to the halachas of Amavoi that nira mi bechutz v'shava mi bifnim is nidon mishum lechi. And this is, now we have the gears of a lechi, hainu petzimin, or v'hainu petzima. This is the petzima. So in regards to the halachos of a mavui, if you have a part of the lechi that is visible only on the inside, or it's only visible on the outside, and again, you can see in all the diagrams that I mentioned what that is exactly talking about, so then, in this situation, you do have a third wall there, and that's why Rav Kahana said this is perfectly good, even without Pitsimim, because you have two walls there, as well as the third wall, which is either on the inside or on the outside. Gemara continues and says the following brisa, Tana, we learned in the brisa, Pesol hayotzi min asukkah, nidon kisukkah. If you have schach that goes outside the sukkah, we halachically consider that as if it's the sukkah. The boy asks, what are you talking about? My psal hayotzi min asukkah. What exactly are you referring to when you say the psal goes outside the sukkah? So we're going to have a number of different interpretations. The first two interpretations are going to be talking about the actual schach itself. And the other two interpretations are going to be talking about that the sukkah is yotze from being a kosher sukkah. So the first two are going to be talking about the actual schach that's physically yotze min asukkah. And the next two interpretations are going to be that the sukkah is yotze from being a kosher sukkah. So the first interpretation of my psal Hayotzim and Asukkah is as follows. Omar Ula. Konim Hayotzim Yachori Sukkah. We're dealing with Sach that extends beyond the wall of the Sukkah. So you have the middle wall of the Sukkah. Again, in our classical three walled Sukkah, you have the middle wall. So let's say you have the east wall and the west wall, and then you have a north wall. So then the schach extends over the middle wall, what we would say is the exterior part of the sukkah. But you have the middle wall, and then you actually have the eastern wall and the western wall that also extend outside, external to the what was the classical sukkah here, what was your intentional sukkah, but you've essentially created a third sukkah. And you can see diagrams of this next to footnote number 18 in the art scroll, or you can see diagrams of this in the Illustrated Gemara on page 42, diagram number 126, or in the Pirush Chai in diagram number 307 on page 60. So this is Ula's understanding. We're dealing here with the konim, the actual schach, hayotzim liachore sukkah. It's extending beyond the normal walls of the sukkah. So the way we just explained it in all these diagrams, you see that it's a three-walled sukkah that you've created. So you have basically back-to-back sukkahs. However, the Gemara didn't understand it that way right away. So Gemara says, V'ha b'inan shalosh defanosh. Right now, they're understanding this first teretz from Ula, that you just have schach extending beyond the sukkah. So Gemara says, no, b'dika, we're talking about what we set up, is that you have the eastern and western walls also extending, besides the middle wall you have there, you also have the eastern and western walls extending out along with the schach. So Gemara says, V'ha b'inan hechsha sukkah, but it has to be a size of a kosher sukkah, so it would have to be seven tochim by seven tochim. So Gemara says, k'di b'di'ika. So it does. It has seven tochim by seven tochim. Gemara says, V'ha b'inan tzilasa meruba mechamasa, but you need to have enough schach over there, then you have more schach than you have sunlight. So Gemara says, b'di'ika. Yeah, again, we're talking about that there is more schach than there is sun. You have three kosher walls, and that's why it's a kosher sukkah. Someone says, if that's the case, yihachi is a mile member. So what's the chiddush? This is a kosher sukkah. Who would have thought otherwise? Someone says, no. Ma'al detema, I might have said, hoel ulegavoi abide, that this middle wall especially, that's the way Rashi understands it, that this middle wall was not intentionally made to be a wall of a sukkah. It was the middle wall over here, was the wall of the inner sukkah, but it wasn't meant to be the wall of the outer sukkah that you've just created. And therefore, all the barai for the outside, lo abide, it wasn't intended to be a wall. So I might have said, aim alo, kamash valan, that no, it is a perfectly good sukkah as well. That's the way Rashi understood this. Tosos and Nibra Maskel, the barai lo abide, says Pirish HaKuntris, dofet emsoi, zeh lo nasa lekach. He's only referring, Rashi, that the middle wall is a problem. But Tosu says, "Kosher dim vasnis and shemina le the kosher diktani b'chein chotzei mukefes achsadra dim ein min akosa l'sichuch dal ramos k'sheira afal gav the mechitzos bayis lab l'roya pide." In the case of the achsadra, when we had the dofen akuma, so in that situation we said that those walls are considered good walls. Now those walls are the walls of the house; they're not meant to be the walls of the porch. So therefore, Tosu has a different answer. Tosu says, "Anira the akonim hayotzim le'achori asuka koi that this." Idea that you might have thought that it's not a kosher sukkah is because the schach wasn't intended to be schach on the external part of the sukkah. The schach was only intended to be schach on the internal sukkah, on the first sukkah. And now that you've created a second space, you might have thought that that's no good. Sukkah daitach. The post law, lefishein and asuya, letzel. You might have thought that it wasn't made for sale purposes. Komashallah, no, tekshere, it is made for sale purposes, even though it wasn't originally intended that you'd have two sukkahs, but the bottom line is that you do, and therefore it's a kosher sukkah. That's teretz number one from Ula. To the question of my psal, hayotzi min asukkah. Teretz number two is from Rabbah and Rav Yosef. Damar Tavaya, they both said, Hacha bekonim hayotzim lefnim min asukkah. They're dealing over here with schach that goes in front of the sukkah, but umoshcho v'oz lechot adofen badayu. And only one side goes out. So here you're extending the sukkah in the normal way where the sukkah was, and you can see this in the Pirush Chai in diagram number 308 on page 60, or you can see this in the Illustrated Gemara in diagram number 127 on page 43, or you have pictures over here in the art scroll next to footnote number 22. And in all of these situations, Rabbi Yosef say that you might have thought in this situation, Hacha b'konim hayotzim lefnim min asukkah, u'moshcho v'oz l'chod adofen v'adayu, and only one wall goes out. Let's say in this situation, only the eastern wall goes out, but the western wall doesn't go out all the way. So you might have thought, ma'al d'tei mohol les le'hech shesukkah, that this isn't a kosher sukkah, so kamash v'lan, that it is a kosher sukkah. That's the chiddush over here. And Rashi points out that this is no different than a short 7x7 sukkah. In the Ramasul Ma'al d'tema, kiv on the low mamshich dofen sheni b'hadah, since the second wall doesn't go all the way out, it's only the middle wall that you have, and then the one wall that's extended out, so muchach milsa d'bapei nafshahit, you might have thought that it's by itself. V'holes bo shiva tvachim b'hersha sukkah, you might have thought that therefore you don't have a 7x7 tvachim sukkah, so kamash v'lan that you do. as Rashi says in Kamash Lom, the min sukkahu, that it's, it goes and is a kosher sukkah. Vavikishtaim kilchos, and this is no different than having two of the walls that are done absolutely appropriately. And the third wall, afilu tefach, is technically good. And therefore, in this situation, even though you don't have a lot of the wall extending out, you still have the original wall, and therefore it is a kosher sukkah. This is teretz number two, Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef. And as I mentioned, these two are talking about the schach being yotze. Now we'll have teretz number three and teretz number four, and they'll say that the sukkah goes out. The sukkah is yotze from being a kosher sukkah. So, Rabbah bar bar chana omer v'yochanan. Rabbah bar bar chana said in Rav Yochanan, lo nitzricho, we need this definition over here for the psal yotze min asukkah. Lo nitzricho elo l'sukkah, shiruba tzilosa meruba michamasa, where most of the sukkah is in shade. Most of the sukkah has kosher v'schach, more so than the sun. However, umiyuta chamasa meruba mizilosa. But you have a small amount of it where if you just look at that small area, you actually have more sun than you do shade. And you can see this in the art scroll in footnote number 25 in the diagram attached to it. And as well, you can see this in the Illustrated Gemara on page 43, diagram number 128. There's slight differences between the art scroll diagram and the Illustrated Gemara diagram. And you can see this as well in the Pirush Chai, which is more like the Illustrated Gemara diagram on page 61, diagram number 309. In any event, in this situation, you might have said, do you look at the entire picture of the sukkah, or do you only look at the part where the tzel is less than the schach? So ma'al d'teima tipasel b'hach porta, you might have thought that in the small area where you have more sun than you do shade, more sun than you do schach, and at least that part of the sukkah should not be kosher. So therefore, kamash balon, the chiddush is of Rabbah bar Barachan Amar Yochanan, that it is a kosher sukkah. Because you look at the entire totality of it, and the entire totality is that you have more tzelosa, maruba, mechamosa. Or it says, what does the word yotze mean? Umay yotze? So as I said before, it means yotze mehersh sukkah. So in this situation, it means that part of the schach went down for being a kosher sukkah, but since it's only a minority of it, the majority is still tzelosa, maruba, mechamosa, so it is still a kosher sukkah. But only part of it, yotze mehersh sukkah. And the final interpretation of this brisa, when it talks about pesel ayotzi min asukkah, is Rav Hoshaya. Rav Hoshaya, Rabbi Hoshaya Omar, lo nitzucha elo l'schach posel, pochos mishlosha besukkah ketana. It's talking about where you have non-valid schach, you have posel l'schach, in an area that is less than three tvachim, and it's in a sukkah mitzumtzum, in a sukkah ketana. And therefore, this teaches us that it doesn't ruin the sukkah, because you still have the 7x7, and even though you have some pasul eschach, you don't have enough pasul eschach to ruin the sukkah. So then the Gemara asks, so what does it mean then when you say pesel hayotze min asukkah, or my yotze? So the Gemara answers, similar to what we just gave, the answer to Rabbah bar Barachana or Rav Yochanan, it means yotze mitorah sukkah. It means that that piece of the sukkah that doesn't have schach is yotze from being a kosher sukkah, but overall it is a kosher sukkah. And Gemara says, wait a second, Maskif la Rav Hoshaya. Rav Hoshaya asks on this interpretation, and he says, Lo yei ela avir. We should count this pasul eschach as being like avir. And avir, pochos mishlosha tvacha besukkah ketana mi pasul. Why would you have a havimina to think that it shouldn't be good? How could this pasul eschach be worse than avir? And just like avir doesn't ruin it less than 3.0 tvachim, so why would we have thought that pasul eschach should ruin it if it's less than 3.0 tvachim? So what's the chiddush over here? What is he trying to teach us? So the Gemara says, Amalei Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba explains, Zeh mitztarif v'yishenim tachtov. Zeh mitztarif v'yishenim tachtov. No, there's a big difference over here. The pasul eschach can combine with the good schach and it makes it into a kosher sukkah, and you can sleep underneath this pasul eschach. As opposed to when you have the avir that is mitztarif to the kosher eschach, because you have less than 3.0 tvachim of avir, so it's mitztarif to make the shear of a kosher sukkah. However, ve'en yishenim tachta, but you're not allowed to sleep underneath the empty space. You have to sleep underneath the schach. And the Chiddush of Rabbi Abba is he's telling us that this is the distinction why he has to tell his pasul eschach combines. And it combines the pasul eschach, combines, because it's less than 3.0 tvachim, with the kosher eschach, and you can even sleep in any place underneath that pasul eschach. As opposed to underneath the avir, you can't sleep. Gemara questions this and says, is it possible that you could ever have something that it's trufim, it's tarif, that it can combine. However, v'uatz meinu kosher, but it combines to make the total kosher, but underneath it, it's no good. So we can understand why the pasul eschach can combine with the kosher eschach, and you can sleep anywhere. But how does avir, which is not good, combine with kosher eschach? As long as you have less than 3.0 of avir, it combines to make it a kosher socha. But you can't sleep underneath the pasul avir. How does that work? We don't find anything like that. We turn to Yotes Amud Beis, and the Gemara says, yes, we do. Amar Rav Yitzchok Ben Yashiv, in. We do find that that is such a case. And we turn to Yotes Amud Beis. Where is that? Tit Hanorok Yochiach. If you have mud in a mikvah. So, as Rashi points out, this is a liquid type of mud that you could pour it from one utensil into another utensil. It could go shurach, it's very, very soft. However, it can combine to make the shear of 40 sar, but the person isn't allowed to go and immerse himself in this type of mud. But if you actually go into that part of the mikvah that's included in the 40 sar, but there's mud over there, so then your tefillah isn't going to count. So therefore, here you have an example, just like with the avir of the sukkah. It can combine to make the shear of 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim because you have less than 3.0 tefachim of avir. However, you're not allowed to sleep or eat underneath the avir. So to over here, the mud, this tit hanarok, this liquidy type of a mud that you can pour in a container from one container to another container, so it has the halachic status of being water in regards to making up the 40 saw required for a mikvah. However, when you immerse yourself in that mikvah, you can't immerse yourself in that mud. Now we go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Osa Sukaso Kibin Srif. Now we had this previously, I think, on Daf Zayin, and we had a slightly different way of understanding this. Our Mishnah, according to some, understands it differently, or it's an additional way of understanding it. So if a person makes Osa Sukaso Kibin Srif, if you make like a teepee type of a sukkah, it doesn't have a clear flat top, and it doesn't have clear walls. It's like sloping inwards. And you can see pictures of this, again, in the art scroll next to footnote number 4. And we had these previously in the Pirush Chai on page 25, diagram number 118. So this conical-like structure, Hosa Sukoso Kimin Srif, is not going to be a kosher sukkah, according to the Tanakhama Rabbi Eliezer. Or alternatively, Osha Sumacha Lakosa, or if you leaned your sukkah against the wall. It's like, again, you have an angled schach that you start off on the ground and you lean it on a wall. And again, you can see diagrams of this in the Pirush Chai on page 25, diagram number 119, or in the Illustrated Gemara on page 17, diagram number 49. And in all of these situations, either the tzrif or the smocha lekosel, Rabbi Lezer posel b'nei she'en lo gag. Rabbi Lezer says it's no good because there's no horizontal gag. You have only a slanted gag, which is wall and roof, and it can't be both, and therefore it is no good according to Rabbi Lezer. However, the chacham machshir, in both situations, the chacham permit this. They say that it is perfectly acceptable. Rabbi Lezer, Rashi says she'enu nikar mahu gag mahu kosel. You can't tell where the wall stops and the ceiling starts, and vice versa. Dol meshupa lav ohelu, because a slanted roof doesn't make an ohel. El emkein yeshbo tefach zokuf kidikatoni bevayis, unless you have a fully vertical component of at least one tefach, and then you have the ability to be above that, underneath it, a ohel. And we learn that out of Hilchos Tuma, that you need to have at least a one tefach height in order to have a vertical wall that you can have an ohel underneath it. Then if the ohel is slanted, it's not a problem, as we'll see in cases in the Gemara. So this is our Mishnah. Gemara tells us off with a brisa, starts us off with a brisa, Tana. We learn in a brisa, Moda Rabbi Eliezer, that even Rabbi Eliezer is Moda, that the Chacham, that this is a good sukkah if you have one tefach. Shim Higbiya min hakarka tefach. If you raise the sukkah up from the ground, the tefach, you can see this in the Pirush Chai on page 62, diagram number 318, or you can see this in the art scroll next to footnote number 8, or you can see this in the Illustrated Gemara on page 44, diagram number 130. So if you raise it up from the ground, a tefach, that is acceptable, or osheflegum in a kosel tefach, or at the top, you don't have it directly up against the wall, but you can see this in the art scroll in footnote next in the diagram next to footnote number 9, or in the Pirush Chai on page 62, diagram number 319, or in the Illustrated Gemara on page 44, diagram number 131. In all of these situations, you have a horizontal component to the roof, or in the previous scenario, you had a full tefach of a vertical component. So therefore, you have either 100% a horizontal tefach, or you have 100% a vertical tefach, and therefore you don't have a ohel meshupa, and therefore it is good according to even Rabbi Eliezer. Now, Maitamai the Rabbanan, how can the Rabbanan aren't concerned about this ohel meshupa? So Gemara says, Shipuei ohalim, ki ohalim domim. They say, why would it make any difference if the roof of the of a sukkah is flat, of an oil is flat, or if it's slanted, it's a roof. So part of it's a wall, part of it's a roof, but we don't need to have any 100% vertical or 100% horizontal. It can be 100% on a slant, and it's perfectly good according to the opinion of the Chachon. Now the Gemara says, Abaye Asher Kehle Rav Yosef, Abaye once found Rav Yosef, Tekogoni Bekilas Chasanim Besukkah. He was sleeping underneath this Kilas Chasanim. Again, we had described previously that the Kilas Chasanim was a two-post bed where you had the first post that was on the headboard and the other post was on the foot of the bed, and then you had a canopy that extended downwards on both sides. And the flat part of the Kilas Chasanim was less than one tefach. So therefore, this is not a kosher ohel according to the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, but it would be a kosher ohel according to the Chachamim, based upon what we just said. So Abaye Asher Kehle Rav Yosef, the Kogani, Bechilas Chasanim, Besuki, he was sleeping underneath this Kilas Chasanim, which would only be good according to Rabbi Eliezer, because he holds that it wouldn't be a kosher sukkah, so therefore it doesn't have the status of an ohel, and it wouldn't ruin it for you sleeping in the sukkah underneath this canopy bed. So he asked him, Amalei, Abaye asked Rav Yosef, Rabbi, who are you holding like? Come on, which opinion are you relying upon? Are you relying upon the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer? That's the way many of the Mefarshim understand this, that he was saying Rabbi Eliezer. Others have it, the Gears over here, the Rashash and others, that it is Amar Lei, Rabbi Yosef, said back to Abaye, I'm holding like Rabbi Eliezer. And then, in any event, you have Abaye now saying to Rabbi Yosef, Shavka Rabbanan, Rabbi, you're leaving the opinion of the Chachamim, the majority, the Avitzka Rabbi Eliezer, and you're taking the minority opinion of Adas Yochid? How come? So Rabbi Yosef says back to Abaye, Amalei, no, Braisa Ifchatani, because in the Braisa, it has the exact opposite attributions. It has the opinion of the Chachamim that they say that it's not a good ohel. And it's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that says that the slanted roof is a good ohel. It would be a kosher sukkah. So therefore, Rabbi Yosef tells Abaye, Amalei, Braisa Ifchatani, Rabbi Eliezer Machshiv Chachamim Poslin. So therefore, I'm actually going like the majority opinion. Abaye asked the Rabbi, Shabbos Masnisa, Avitzka Braisa. Normally when we have a machlokas between a Mishnah and a Braisa, we say the Mishnah is more authoritative than the Braisa. So how come over here you're following the opinion of the Braisa rather than the opinion of the Mishnah? So Rabbi Yosef says back to Abaye, he says, Amalei, Masnisa Nichidoihi. Our Mishnah is only a Das Yochid, and the Braisa is the Das of the Chachamim, or the Rabbim. And therefore, even though the Mishnah is normally more authoritative than the Braisa, but here the Mishnah is clearly a Das Yochid. Where do we see that? And our Mishnah doesn't say that, but he brings a Braisa to support that our Mishnah is a Das Yochid of Rabbi Nosson. Whereas the Braisa is the opinion of the Chachamim, and therefore I follow the majority opinion, which is found in the Braisa, rather than the minority opinion that's stated in our Mishnah. So Amar Lei, so Rav Yosef says to him, Masnisin Yechidoihi, because of the following Braisa, the Tanya. The Braisa says exactly like our Mishnah, but it adds the attribution of Rabbi Nosson. Osa Sukoso Kimin Srif, if somebody makes the teepee like Sukkah, oh, Shesmoch Lakoso, it leans the Srach against the wall, so it's a slanted roof. So Rabbi Nosson Omer, that this is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who's Posel, Mimeshein Logak. Whereas Rabbi Nosson says the Chachamim Mashirin. So it's only according to the opinion, the Das Yochid of Rabbi Nosson, that Rabbi Eliezer is the one that's posel, the Chachamim Mashirin. But in the Braisa that Rabbi Yosef reported, which he says is authoritative, the Braisa has it the other way around, that Rabbi Eliezer is the one that's Machshir, and the Chachamim are poselin. And here it's not just Rabbi Nosson, this is all of the Chachamim. So therefore, Rabbi Yosef tells Abaye, I prefer the opinion of the Braisa, which is the majority opinion, rather than the Das Yochid opinion of our Mishnah. Next Mishnah. So the Gemara tells us, Machatzelis Konim Gedola, if you have a sukkah that is made with a schach of mats, and these are large mats. So asol l'shchiva, if you made them for the intention of sleeping on them. Normally large mats are not made for the intention of sleeping on them, but if they're made for the intention of sleeping on them, so therefore they are capable of being makabel tumma, they can get tumas medris, and therefore makabelas tumma, they mesach limba, and they're not good for kosher eschach, because anything that can be makabel tumma is not good for kosher eschach. However, if you made these large mats, machaselos konim gedola, l'sichach, for the purposes of schach, so then mesachim, but then they're perfectly good for schach because you didn't make them to sleep on, they're not capable of being makabel tumas medris, ain't makabel tumma, and therefore they're perfectly good schach. So the chachamim of our Mishnah tell us it all depends on the intention. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with the chachamim. He says, achas ketana v'achas gedola, it doesn't make a difference whether it's a small or a large mat. Intention is everything. Asol l'shchiva, if you made it, whether it's small or a large mat, you made it for the purposes of sleeping on it, of lying down on it, so then it's makabel tumas medris. Anything that you lean on or can be leaned upon or supporting you could be makabel tumas medris. So therefore, if you made it l'shchiva, whether it's large or small mat, makabel is tumah, and therefore ve'en masachim ba. However, whether it's small or large, you made it l'sichach, so then it's not made for the purposes of leaning on it or sleeping on it, and therefore it's not makabel tumah, and therefore mesachachim bo bein makabel tumah, and therefore you can use it for schach, but it's not makabel tumah. Now the Gemara starts off and tells us hagufa kasha seems to be something mutually contradictory in the ratio of the Mishnah, as we'll see in a second, also in the sefer of the Mishnah, because we have two statements and each implication is contradictory of the first two statements in the Mishnah, as well as the last two statements in the Mishnah. The first two statements in the Reisha seem to be mutually contradictory by their implication, and the last two statements in the Mishnah, by their implication, will seem to be mutually contradictory. What do we mean? Ha-gufa kasha. The Gemara starts off with the first two statements in the Reisha, which are attributed to the Chachamim. Gemara says, Amriz, he's told us the first statement, asol l'shriva, if you made these large mats for the purposes of lying down upon them, so then they're makabel etz tuma, they can be makabel tumas medris, and therefore they mesachim ba. The implication being that if you didn't make it l'shriva, stam, the tama, the asol l'shriva, ruins it. Ha stama l'sichach, the stam situation with large mats is that they made stam l'sichach. So only if you specifically mention that they're for shriva are they no good, but the stam position would be that they are good. But then you say a second later, Odutani, in the second part of the Reisha, you say, if you made it l'sichach, then mesachachim ba, v'en makabel tumah. Only if you made it bedavka for schach, is it not makabel tumah, because you're not using it for lying down, and it's therefore not makabel tumah smedris, and therefore only in the situation where you made it l'shem schach, is it going to be kosher schach. But the implication is, taima, the asol v'slichach, only because you made it l'shem schach is a good implication, being that if you didn't make it l'shem schach, stoma, the default position, hostoma l'shriva, the default position would be that it was for shriva. So the implication of the Reisha is that the stam position is l'shach. The implication of the Sefer is that the stam position is l'shriva. That seems to be mutually contradictory. Gemara says, no, that's not a problem. Holo kasha, it all depends. Kan b'gedola, in the first part of the Mishnah, we're saying that it's a large mat, so the presumption is it's not for shriva, it's a large mat, so the presumption is that it's going to be for schach. Therefore, unless you specifically state that you're making it l'shem shriva, so then a large mat is always going to be stam l'shem schach. But in the second part of the Reisha, when he says, only when you make it l'shem schach is it good for schach, the implication is that stam, it's not good for schach, that's talking about biktana. So exactly, our Tanakama is differentiating between a large mat and a small mat. A large mat, the stam position is, it's l'shem schach. A small mat, the stam position is, it's l'shem shriva. However, you can intentionally make it even the large mat l'shem shriva, or even the small mat l'shem schach. That is the Tanakama's opinion. Where it says, okay, great. Now, some of this is in parentheses, and some are in cursive, but it's not wrong, so we'll just read it anyway. Bishlomo l'rabbanan lo kasha, according to the Chachamim, there is no problem over here, because, as we just explained it, so you're dealing over here with a large mat versus a small mat. Elo l'rabbi Eliezer kasha, but according to Rabbi Eliezer, we have a problem, because keep on reading the Sefer of our Mishnah. The same mutually contradictory implication of the Reisha is found in the Sefer as well. It's none. We learned that our Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Achas Ketana V'Achas Gedola. Rabbi Eliezer doesn't differentiate between a small or a large mat. He says, if you made it a soil l'shchiva, if it was made for the purposes of lying down on it, so therefore it's makabel tumas medrash, so then it's no good for schach. Now, the implication is, taimo the osa l'shchiva, it's only if you specifically made it for shchiva, but the default position would be hostam l'sichach, that if you didn't specifically make it for shchiva, so then the default position would be, it's stam for schach. Okay, so the implication is stam for schach. But then keep on reading. Look at the sefer, Ema sefer. It says specifically in the sefer, asol sichach, if you specifically made it for schach, only then are you allowed to go and be mesachach in ba, v'enu mekabelas tumah. Only then can you go and be mesachach with it and use it for schach, and it's not mekabel tumah. But the stam position is that taima di osol sichach, only if you did it l'shem schach is it good for schach. Implication being the stam, hostoma l'shriva. Now, you again have the reisha of the sefer implying that stoma l'sichach, and the sefer of the sefer is stoma l'shriva. So which one is it? Now here you can't say we're dealing with a large mat versus a small mat because Rabbi Lazar says there's no difference. Achaz ketanav yachaz gedola. So how do you answer the Sefer? How do you answer Rabbi Lazar? Or says you're right. El Omer Rabbi, Rabbi says, big gedola, when you're dealing over here with a large mat, everybody agrees that a large mat, the default position is that the stam is for schach. And only if you specifically made the large mat for shriva is it then going to be possible. But the stam position of a large mat is it's always good for schach. And where do the Tanakama and Rabbi Lezer argue? Ki pligi b'ktana. They only argue with the smaller mats. The Tanakama saw our stam ketana l'shriva, that normally a small mat, according to the Tanakama, is going to be used for shriva purposes. So unless you specifically intended for schach, the stam position, according to the Tanakama, will be for shriva. As opposed to Rabbi Eliezer, he holds even in a smaller mat, sover stam ketana nam l'sichach. So Rabbi Eliezer is actually being more makel than the Tanakama, according to Rabbi's teretz. And we turn to Chaf Amud Aleph. This is the way you have to read our Mishnah. According to Rabbi, v'hochi komar. When our Mishnah tells us, machatzelas hakonim gedola, when you're dealing over here with a large mat, so if you made it a soil l'shriva, so then in that situation, even the Chachamim agree, makabelas tumah. Dei nesachim ba, because it's makabel tumas medris, so then you can't use it as a schach. But the taima, the reason why is the soil l'shriva, because you specifically made it for shriva purposes, but the implication is that the stam position, the large mat, everybody agrees, hostoma nase kimisha soil l'sichach, that the stam position for a large mat is that it's made the shame schach, and therefore mesachachim po, because it's not makabel tumah. Now, the next lines are also in parentheses, and we shouldn't read them. They're actually incorrect to a certain extent. They don't fit in with the flow of the Gemara, so we'll delete the parentheses, and we'll continue. We also, Rabbi Eliezer, and along comes Rabbi Eliezer, and tells us, Lameimar, no, I disagree with the Tanakama. I say that the stam position, even for ketana, aches ketana v'aches gedola, stomach kisher l'sichuch, the stam position is that it's good for sach. It's only if you specifically intend it for shriva, then it makes it no good. So again, Rava's understanding of Rabbi Eliezer, he's more makel than the Tanakama. But the Gemara says, Abaye doesn't like this. Omalei Abaye. Abaye says to Rava, if what you're saying is true, ihachi, so then the words that Rabbi Eliezer should have said, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, aches ketana v'aches gedola, why would he have said that it's true, a ketana or a gedola? He should have said it the other way around, aches gedola, and even the aches ketana meboile. If he's comparing over here, he's saying the kula is by a ketana, that even a ketana is going to have the same din as a gedola, that the stam is for sichach, so then the order that he said it should have been changed around. He shouldn't have said aches ketana v'aches gedola. He should have said aches gedola and the aches ketana. You're comparing the aches ketana to the gedola. So therefore, the order is wrong. That's what Abaye tells Rava. Furthermore, he says another problem with Rava, for Ode, he says, ki pligi, they're arguing, b'gedola hu de pligi. He says, no, they don't all agree that a gedola is good. In fact, Rabbi Lezer is the more machmer opinion. Rabbi Lezer says, even a gedola, the stam position is that it's l'shem shriva, and only if you intend it for sichach is it good for sichach. Rabbi Lezer, l'chumra. And how do we know that this is true? Because I have a braisa. The Tanya, the braisa tells you, machatzela sakonim, if you have a mat. So, b'gedola misachimba. The Tanakama says that if it's a large one, you can use it for schach. And Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, no. Im eina makabel es tumah. Only if it's not makabel tumah, misachimba. In other words, the stam position is that it is makabel tumah. And therefore, you see that Rabbi Eliezer is the more machmir position. And therefore, you can't understand this the way you do. Rava, Abaye says to Rava, you are wrong. So what is the teretz? I go a little bit further than the Gemara. I know it's going beyond where we normally would stop, but let's finish off the sugya. So El Omer Rapapa. Rapapa says the only way to understand the Mishnah is as follows. Biktana, in regards to a small mat, so Kuli Amal Opligi, the Stom L'Shriva. Everybody agrees that the small mats, that the Stam usage of the small mats is for Shriva purposes. In other words, they're Makabal Tumas Medris, and they're no good for Schach. And only if you specifically intend the Schach would it be good. Where's the machlokas between the Tanakama and Beliezer? It's with the larger mats, Kipling and Bagdola. And Tanakama Sovar Stam Gedola Sichach, because the Tanakama holds that the default position of the large mats is that they're not for Shriva. The default position is that they are for Schach. And Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with that. Rabbi Eliezer Sovar, even Stam Gedola, Nami L'Shriva. He holds that even the large mats, the Stam default position is that they're used for Shriva, therefore the Makabal Tumas Medrash, so they're not good for Schach. When we said that you made it for Shriva, that implies that it normally is not made for Shriva. So if this is what Rabbi Eliezer is saying, Hori Koma, Rabbi Eliezer says, because Stama Siyosa Nami L'Shriva, even the large mats, they're normally made for Shriva purposes, and Ad the Ovid L'Sicha, and the only way they're going to be good, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is if you made them for Schach. And therefore, that's the way we understand the Mishnah. Tanakama is more makel than Rabbi Eliezer. The Tanakama says the large mats, the stam position, is for sichuch, and he agrees that the small mats, the stam position, is that it's l'shriva and no good for schach, unless you specifically say that it should be used for schach. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer says both the large and the small mats, they're certainly no good, the stam position, because they're used for shriva, and only if you say that you want to use them for schach are they good. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's share.